Detective Barry Gilbert studied Glenn Boyd's dead body. Boyd lay on his back in the middle of the queen-size bed, his turquoise satin dressing gown flung open, his blue boxer shorts partially visible, a woolly mat of curly gray hair thick upon his chest. A woman's silk scarf was tied around his neck. Boyd was profoundly cyanotic, his skin the bluish-gray color of a strangulation victim. Gilbert was surprised to see how frail Boyd was, not like the Boyd he once knew. Gilbert glanced at Constable Virginia Varelli, first officer on the scene. She stood rigidly at the end of the bed, a young woman, nervous, subdued, her hands behind her back, staring straight ahead. Her blonde hair was tied tightly in a short ponytail. "Your first homicide?" he asked. "Yes," she said. "You don't have to be nervous," said Gilbert. "He's not going to get up and bite you." She tried to grin, but couldn't. "Thank you, sir," she said. "And don't call me sir. Call me Barry. How old are you?"
23.
"And where's your partner?" he asked.
"Downstairs, taking the credit agent's statement."
"And did you speak to the credit agent yourself?" asked Gilbert.
"Yes, sir, I did."
"And did you catch his name?"
"Ryan Gill, sir," she said.
"And what did he say?"
"He said he came to make a collection call on behalf of Evergreen Property Management. The victim was 5 months behind in his rent. When he came upstairs, he found the door partially open. He knocked, but no one answered. So he came inside."
She glanced around the big one-room apartment.
"He discovered the victim lying in the bed, sir. He called 911.
Gilbert nodded. "Thank you." Officer Varelli peered at Gilbert. "What are you looking at?" he asked.
"You're wearing a tuxedo, sir," she said.
He grinned. "It's my birthday," he said. "My wife and I were at the theater when headquarters called. She was taking me out."
"Oh," she said.
A strained smile came to her face.
"Many happy returns, sir."
He could see she was still having a hard time acting normal around Boyd. "Thank you," he said. "It's my 50th. I never thought I'd see the day."
"Congratulations, sir," she said. "You don't look 50.
He gazed at the young officer, realizing he was over twice her age. "Thanks," he said. He glanced at the disarray around the apartment, the broken plate on the floor, the clothes scattered everywhere, the chair knocked down beside the table. Had there been a struggle, he wondered. "Has Detective Lombardo been notified?" he asked.
"Yes, sir," said Constable Varelli. "I spoke to him personally. He should be here any minute."
This time she managed a grin. "Why are you grinning?" he asked. Her grin disappeared.
"No reason, sir," she said.
Gilbert frowned. "Let me guess," he said. "He asked you out, didn't he?" Constable Varelli's grin came back. The color climbed to her face.
"No, sir," she said. "But he sure can be charming."
Gilbert shook his head. "Oh, he's charming, all right." He slid his hand into his pocket where he felt his theater ticket stub. "You might as well help your partner," he said. He knew she wanted to get away from Boyd's body. "I don't think there's anything else you can do here." He noticed Boyd had 3 toenails painted red with nail polish. "I'll call if I need help."
"Thank you, sir," she said.
She left the apartment trying to put some confidence in her stride. Gilbert looked at Glenn Boyd. He never thought he would see the man again. Funny how he should be standing here like this. The apartment, open concept, was a bachelor pad, with the kitchenette built right into the wall, and the rest of the place a bedroom, living room, and dining room combined. Funny how life could play pranks like this. He wasn't upset, just unsettled. Boyd looked so old. He had a crescent-shaped welt on his forehead, as if he'd been hit with something. An unopened packet of cocaine, 5 or 6 grams, rested on the bedside table. So did a bunch of weird candles. The smell of urine rose from the bed. Boyd looked as if he'd been flung onto the bed. Was he strangled next to the laundry hamper, or the piano, or the dining room table, then moved to the bed? Did the messy apartment in fact indicate a struggle? Or was Boyd just a messy guy?